So, if you're currently listening to this on Spotify, just be known that this, for the optimal viewing experience, you should watch this on YouTube. You can search up The Last Podcast on YouTube and try to see if you can find us. Because today is going to be a little bit different. Today is going to be the first time that we're doing the movie podcast on within The Last Podcast. And we're going to have visuals showing the scenes that we're going to be talking about during this movie. So if you want to see those visuals, you can go ahead over to YouTube. So instead of us describing what the scene looks like, you can actually see it for yourself.
You'll see it.
Yes. Yes, sir. And also, before we start this podcast, make sure if you're on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe and hit the bell icon. If you're on Spotify, you can leave a like, download the thing, share with your friends and family, and all the other good stuff. And, well, not even on Spotify, but if you're on any other podcast platforms, which we are on many, I think it's 8 in total that we're on, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. So if you're listening on any of those platforms, you head over to YouTube to see the visuals. If not, if you don't want to, if you just want to listen, then just make sure you share the podcast with your friends and family. Hope you enjoy it.
Nice.
Yes, but without further ado, my name is Brooks.
And I am the only other host of the movie podcast. But since this is the first one in a while, welcome back, ladies and gents. Because my name is Ted Ernst, and today we are talking about Django Unchained.
Yes.
Quite the beauty of a movie, isn't she?
See, Django Unchained, it received a lot of backlash because, well, I'm going to tell you like the synopsis of the story. It'll probably actually pop up on the screen right here if I, or not. Okay, never mind. But... But Django Unchained it received a lot of backlash because it's a movie that's set a few. Oh, here it is. Accompanied by a German bounty hunter, a freed slave named Django travels across America to free his wife from a sadistic plantation owner. So as you can see, it takes place in the 1800s. It takes place a few years before the Civil War, right?
I believe so. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The people were still enslaved in this movie, so that would count for yes before Civil War.
Yeah, I remember in the opening scene. Let me go to opening scene right now. I also have closed captions turned off because one of the reasons why this received a lot of backlash is because 2 years before the Civil War. One of the reasons why it received a lot of backlash is because it uses the N-word with the hard R. I think it said 109 times. So the year is 1858, two years before the Civil War. And if you haven't noticed by now, this is gonna pertain spoilers. So if you wanna watch the movie yourself and come back, go ahead and do that. You're totally free to do that. But
yeah, we're gonna dissect this piece by piece, not like how we would have done previously, but more so just things that we want to highlight in the film that we noticed, that we felt were kind of interesting, and we didn't really necessarily discuss it, but do you want to go about it in the three chunks?
Oh, yeah, you can go ahead.
So, yeah, we are going to basically go ahead and do this in three little sections, kind of like the beginning, the rise, and then the somewhat fall, but even towards the end of the movie, you're kind of come to realize that it's not all that. So, again, spoilers, but from this point forward, you've been warned, and let's just get kind of right into it. Mm-hmm. So, we start with their introduction. We see some slaves kind of here, and
feel free to move doing the thing around.
Oh, yeah, I am. And they're literally, as it says, somewhere in Texas, just showing off that this is kind of life, you know. And we get to this point where we meet the two main characters who kind of just pull up in this goofy looking cart, but we come to learn that as the movie kind of progresses, this is one of the many bounties that they hunt throughout the movie from my good man Dr. Schultz, who is in fact the bounty hunter of this movie.
Now,
And, as you can see right here, it's already some confrontation, already trying to talk him down, but
look at that.
just
That's like my, that's my favorite
spoiler
part
alert,
of the
he loses.
thing.
He loses. He
Now,
doesn't do too well. And kind of as a result, kind of like what you would imagine for the time, since Schultz works with helping Django go back up to the north, he's basically like gonna help these guys and give them the freedom that they deserve. And considering the fact that he's having them literally just sign and acknowledge that, hey, I literally just killed the man who was literally saying he owned you. It's representation of kind of just how it's really a man eat man world. It doesn't matter if it's white versus white, or if it's black versus black, which you'll come to see later in this film, or if it's black versus white, because all in all, everybody kind of has a growing interest, a conflict for the betterment of themselves. But this is only really kind of the beginning of it.
Yeah, I do want to mention that I really like throughout the entire movie. I really like the way the entire movie is shot, basically, because as you can see here from a few different things, there's like of course like the traditional basic like medium close up of the things and stuff like that. But also I like what Tarantino does a lot. We've seen like in a lot of his films, like in Kill Bill or in this film. If I can go back to it. Where is it? It'll show up. But also this is actually a really good film to see how like the gruesomeness that's I'm gonna go back, but the gruesomeness of like the slave the how what slavery was like in America. There's like the gruesomeness of it all, like the chains shackled on their ankles at till they bleed and stuff like that. But if I can get where is it? Here it is. So and this it starts from like here, right here. It's like a dramatic zoom into like it's like a dramatic close up into the face, which I really like from Tarantino. I saw it as you were playing it before. Now whatever, but you'll see it later probably. But yeah, it's like a dramatic zoom in of the face. I'll probably play a shot of it if you're watching this on YouTube. That I really like. This it was from Tarantino on this thing. But yeah, that's all I want to say about that.
Right. So, moving on, we kind of get to, of course, witness after the murder a very brutal beating of the man who, as you'll see in this very powerful scene, Schultz is like, all right, well, he's dead now. Well, he's not dead. He's really injured. So, you guys can take care of the rest of this. You guys are a free man. Here's a gun. And the Northern Star is that way, in case you're confused on how to get up out of here and go to a better place.
Yeah, and
So, of course,
also
this
to
is.
mention that Schultz is not racist. He despises slavery and stuff like that. Treats all men equal.
But that's, again, kind of obvious since he's with Django as a whole. So, we
Yeah.
get this nice pivotal scene where Django stops and he watches them with chains still on their feet, whiplashes still on their back. Finally taking a bit of control back over their life as they kind of get to finally head towards freedom. Which, ironically, as Django rides off with Schultz into the sunset, little does he know he's going to gain the most freedom that he's going to feel in a long time. So we get this scene where they end up in Daugherty, Texas, and they're just kind of in this town. And of course, I'll just jump ahead a little bit. You get all these nice people staring at people. And this is where it's really pivotal with the hard R. So thank God for no closed captions, because a lot of them are just saying, that's a igga on a horse, that's a black man on a horse. Well, I'll be gosh darn, that's a black man on a horse. What horse? That he's not supposed to be there. It sets the tone for how weird it was for them to do literally anything that was considered human. I'm sure that most of them would have preferred for him to be like the goats over there, which is ironic because he is the goat. So we kind of go into this bar scene, where Schultz and Django stop, and they're kind of talking, you know, about how they're going to have to kind of pretend now, because since they're in town, a lot of people are afraid of Django for the simple fact of, you know, he's black. When you look at Schultz and you look at Django as they keep doing the pan around, you'll see that Schultz is a lot more distinguished and kind of more kempt. Meanwhile, Django has blood on his jacket, his hair is nappy, and he generally just looks kind of disheveled. So he talks to him about how, even though he despises slavery, he's going to have to act like he is with Schultz as a slave for the simple fact of him not wanting to die and also Django dying with him because they don't really care, as I said before, if there'll be if there's blood of a white man or a black man. Anybody who works with their so-called enemy back in this time period was considered a threat.
Yeah, and also
By this
this,
point,
oh yeah, also
well,
this,
yeah, continue.
and in this one, he's also explaining to him kind of like his job, like what he's doing, and why he killed those two men, and why he took Django out of the mix of those slaves anyway. And because he's a bounty hunter, Schultz is a bounty hunter, and he's trying to find three brothers about like and he's trying to find three brothers that Django knows because he used to be on that
Oh,
plantation.
you're jumping ahead, mister. We're not there yet.
I mean,
He's just
we're jumping behind really, because
No, he didn't even talk about them yet. 'Cause this is about the part where they're talking in the bar, and Schultz literally, up until this part, sent the barkeep out running after he threatened him to go get the sheriff. He is about to talk about it, but that's only on the that he's only going to talk about it when they get up to the hill. But yeah, Schultz is a bounty hunter. We are kind of a little bit behind on that. And he does explain his job a little bit. And then we kind of get to this pivotal scene where we finally get to the sheriff. And, you know, they have to get their hands up, you know, have everybody come around, crowd them, and just generally show that, hey, we really don't care at all. So.
Yeah, so this is the sheriff. He's like, oh, basically like tell him like, oh, nothing to see here. Just gonna deal with business. But Schultz is a little bit of a gadget man. He has some gadgets up his sleeve, quite literally.
Quite literally.
And it turns out that this guy, the sheriff, he was like, well, he was a sheriff. He's a new sheriff in town, and it turns out that he has a bounty on his head. So, being a bounty hunter, doing what a bounty hunter does.
Just a casual slip of the wrist and right into center mass.
But honestly, that weapon is like the best weapon that I've ever seen. 'Cause fun fact, in the Cold War, there was kind of a similar well, Dan, he just finished him off. There's kind of a similar thing, similar weapon in the cold during the Cold War. It was like this gun that was also like it was a wearable gun basically, and it was put into a glove, and when you punch somebody with the glove, it sets off the trigger of the gun and it just shoots them at point blank range. Which is quite that's the weapon, of course, is like one time use in that case, but for this case, it's a little bit unrealistic, which is what I wanted to say about the Django and Tarantino in general. Like
But
Tarantino,
talking of what? Well, you go ahead.
I was gonna say Tarantino. He has in all of his movies, he has like a tendency to exaggerate a lot of things. Like in Django, like you can see all the blood splatters are super big and unrealistic. You can see that the like when they spit out the tobacco juice from the chewing tobacco, it's like so much of it's like they dumped a bucket of water in their mouth. You can see and it's also it's like he doesn't shy away from showing what's gru all the gruesome things that people are will re usually cringe at, and it's like he kind of embraces it. Like as you saw in the beginning, like with the shackles on their feet. We see now, like he is shooting a man at point blank range, shooting him in the head, and back when the slaves did it to the guy that got shot by Schultz on a horse.
And like watching all his brains blow out, and even though it's exaggerated, it still shows like, yeah, I'm gonna have like little resemblance of organs in there, or whether it be real or fake, just to really get down to the nitty gritty of it all.
Yeah, and that's something I admire about this movie is like it didn't shy away from the gruesome and the nasty and all that stuff. I kind of embraced it.
But that also doesn't take away from how hilarious this movie
Yeah,
also is, all at the
this
same
movie is
time.
definitely a comedy. It's not like no like historical fiction. No, this is Well, even though it is historical fiction, this is 100% a comedy movie, and it's hilarious.
It's truly hilarious for how serious it takes itself. And I feel like that's the best part about it. So we're kind of at this point where, on the topic of weapons, they have 100 weapons now pointed at this saloon because, they just care the sheriff. So who are you gonna go get except for the chief?
The marshal.
And now the marshal. So now they got all these weapons trained, ready to kill both of them. And Schultz is explaining, like, hey, listen, I got this warrant from a judge in Texas, and he told me that now you guys owe me money because that guy who you thought was your sheriff and was clearly elected very recently, he's actually a runaway fugitive, and I'm actually here to collect that bounty. And since it says dead or alive, I have the right to kill him, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
And so.
this scene is really important because like it happens a few times during the movie. Like the power dynamic is switched. Like as you can see, like no man would be that confident having 100 guns pointed at him at this, like just ready to shoot him at a moment's notice. But the power
With
dynamic,
such a smile on his face, too.
exactly. He's so like he's slick, sly. And it's like, yeah, you would think like, oh man, he's in trouble. But he's like, nah, I'm a government worker. If you kill me, you will be in even more trouble, and you will die. So it's either you let me go for doing my job, or you can face the consequences. Take your pick.
To which, again, because of the power dynamic, even in cases, well, when Django himself kind of comes up into becoming himself, you'll also see how they also kind of scoff at the idea of having this power taken away from them so very easily. But as you can tell from Schultz clearly dropping his guard, they're at a point where they can't really do anything. They know that. And everybody kind of has to stand down. So as they travel, this is pretty good for exposition. It's very beautiful. So they travel. Basically, we get up to this mountain scene, which is about to come up very shortly. I just really like this, the cinematography for this. And this is where we kind of get exposition on Django's wife, who we learn is actually part German. Her name
Well,
is
she's not part German.
Brumhilda.
She's not part German. She's like an African American slave, but she was the her plantation, her slave master was German. So, and since she was a house slave, so the house slave's wife taught her German, so the house slave's wife can have somebody to talk to, which is why Broomhilda, his Jingle's wife, speaks German. Very, very special breed of slave.
Which is exactly what Django is after. Instead of going after freedom, he says that he would much rather become a free man so that he can go back to the South himself and try to find who he loved the most. And this is kind of a pivotal scene right here because it shows us a flashback of them running away. And now they have
Let's talk about his glasses.
a brand new. I also dislike how overexposed and whitewashed he is, but regardless, they put an R on his cheek to signal that he ran away so that anybody who would buy him in the future would know that he attempted to run away. And they also put it on his wife as kind of a way to diminish and shame her so that she will lose status as a house slave, which, even though a lot of the field workers resented them, Django himself knew that it was better than anything that he had been through.
And I think that's kind of like the end of part one though.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because now from this point forward, we get Schultz saying that, listen, I can in good conscience let you go out and do this. So what I need from you is you get to come with me. And I'll give you a third of all the bounties if you agree to be my apprentice. So we get this scene now where they are getting ready to get out. They're getting dressed. And he's just like, do what you want. Put on whatever clothes you want to put on. You're a whole new character now. You could still be Django, but you're a different Django now. So they go up
He
to the
got the
cotton
drip.
field where they.
Little boy blue.
They go to the cotton field where, as Brooks was mentioning earlier, now they're hunting the three brothers, which is the first job that Django gets. And the way that Schultz sets this up is he's basically like, hey, listen, you know them personally because you've seen them before and they've messed with you. So since we kind of have a bounty on them anyway, if you see them, point them out and we will handle it. Because whether I do it or you do it, well, Schultz doesn't recommend that Django do anything, but whether I kill them or whether you help me kill them, nothing can really happen to us because we have court immunity.
Yes.
So, this is just kind of like where he's entertaining conversation, and after just some general conversation, we get Django walking around, interacting with other slaves, and just trying to understand where he is. And
Now,
also by this point,
hold on,
I think
wait,
it's very
go back one
crucial to
second.
point out.
Go back one second.
Go back a few, please.
Now, honestly, I don't understand the reason for this shot to be Dutch.
Because he's kind of pushing her away to hide, even though she's supposed to be giving him a tour, and if they get caught, it could be a potentially dangerous situation for them. It's
I
not
don't know.
entirely Dutch, but it kind of makes sense in the context to me personally.
I don't know, cause right here he's saying like yeah, have you seen these guys around? And like yeah, the new guys that came on the plantation, everybody goes by a different name when they're running away as a fugitive. And this is the point where
Yeah.
she points them out, and it's like.
And it's kind of sketch, but at the same time, also notice that even though this is a Dutch and the background is more Dutch, him and her, they're completely straight. Their alignment is perfect. It's just the background that's kind of Dutch. To kind of make, I don't know what the goal of that was exactly,
Yeah,
but
exactly. I don't, cause I don't, I just, I don't understand why it's Dutch. That's my gripe about that.
That's an interesting gripe to have. What I was gonna say was that it's important to point out that by this point, it's visibly noticed how much more English Django is able to
Speak.
pronounce properly, because in comparison to this slave, he speaks a little bit more finer than her, just a little bit. And it kind of progresses a little bit by little bit in the movie, which is also something that I like that they paid attention to, but that's just kind of important. So we have the scene where he's talking to her, of course, and obviously she's just like, oh, I know them. Of course. There, and there. So
Oh, actually, hold on.
we get
No,
these.
this part is hilarious. This part is hilarious. He brings out the
It
telescope.
is.
This dramatic zoom. I'm telling you, these dramatic zooms and stuff like that is hilarious, man. It just makes the Tarantino film. Oh, yeah. Okay, so yeah, this is the flashback where he's like, this is where, basically why he hates these people so much, because he was like, why are you doing this? Like, they ran away, they got caught. And now they're being punished as a slave would
Yep.
if they were run away.
And these three brothers had a direct involvement after they got caught from running away into like the whole scarring of the R and everything, which is why, again, like he said, they have kind of a resentment.
Yeah, and basically like well for the big dude, the big dude right there, he's weirdly religious.
Yes, he is.
He
But
like
it's not weirdly religious because you also got to remember for this time period that they would use religion as a way to kind of also coax African Americans into believing a certain kind of way about themselves. And a lot of people, like the Israelites of today, kind of believe that slavery and stuff was their fault because of the simple fact that they chose to follow other gods due to certain testaments in the Bible.
Yes.
I think it's Deuteronomy, to be exact.
Yeah, so like yeah, this that's is very gruesome. Sorry to the people on YouTube who had to watch it. If you it's a it's a, it, if you know if you went into this knowing Django and you saw that it was rated R, you can expect a lot of decisions and violence.
No, I say let it play.
Let it die, let it die. Let it shrivel up
I
in
mean,
you.
it's already almost over anyway, because you kind of get the redemption scene where
Yeah.
you see like how badly it was, and then you're also going to see the parallel of Django again in a very thematic way, switching the power over them. Instead, the roles become reversed. Everything that they did to him, he's going to infect and turn due to them.
Yes. And So see, yeah, he just got the information that they're actually about to whip another slave for disobedience or something like that behind like the outhouse or whatever, as you can see here. And Django comes along. He's like, "Hey, who goes there?"
You remember me? He's just like, well,
You're dressed in
who
black,
the
like the drip is kind of immaculate, but at the same time he overdid it, so just a little bit.
Bruh. Now let's just pause right here. Notice how he has the Bible over his heart.
Wait, go back to it. It's not showing.
No, for me it is.
Okay. I'm gonna start right here. He's like, "Oh." All right. Play. Pulls out the gun. Ka-da! Right there.
Oh no, I was talking about the guy, not Django. He doesn't
No.
have it
I okay.
over his
Yeah. It's
heart. I...
not synced up. But right now, it's showing a guy that just got shot with the Bible on his shirt.
That's probably why then.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does have it on his chest. Actually, I know a perfect way to sync it up. You go back 10 seconds, you go over 10 seconds.
It's still showing Django right now.
Yeah, that's perfect because now it's showing Ken again.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Synced up. I've dealt with teleparty for so long that at this point I've kind of become a pro.
It's a teleport, bro.
But yes, man has the Bible pages on his heart. He's a man of God down to his core, as you can clearly tell. And just, it's a very pivotal line here where Django, you can't hear it, just goes, I like the way you die, boy. And it's not cool at all, but it works because he, himself, while Django was begging for him to stop whipping the other girl, he said, I like the way you beg, boy. So again, this is just Django taking what he felt like he didn't have and putting it over on him. And then kind of from here, we get, a reaction from him dying. And they're just like, oh my God, what the heck, bro? Like, what are you doing? So Django starts fighting the other guy, gets the whip from him, hitting him. And again, just showing the
This scene was
reversal.
funny. I don't, this like the slow motion parts are funny to me. I don't know why.
Just going at him, showing them who's boss.
And yeah, he or this is also very pivotal. Like when he like shows all the slaves, like yeah, like look here. Like I guess I don't know if he was trying to uplift them or just trying to like make a statement. Or well, of course he's trying to make a statement, but he just shoots the man right in the head. Multiple times, actually.
Yep. And he makes sure he empties the chamber on him too. And
Now,
Shots is like, whoa there, whoa there, Mr.
whoa
Man,
there,
what are
big
you
fella.
doing?
Now, do you think? Yeah, I guess that was a way for him to like unload a lot of stress and stuff.
Just kind of get his
Oh, hold on, yeah.
reparation.
Well,
So now we get
let's
this
speak about this.
clean scene.
Wait, look at
This
this. This
just
sniper.
immaculate scene. Just hold on, Brooks. Pure silence. Let Shows do what he does. His blood on the cotton.
Shot right through the heart. Damn. This man would kill. This man would become like the best COD player in the world.
Then, of course, coming up from behind. They gotta throw their hands up because here comes Colonel Sanders, like, whoa, whoa,
Word.
whoa, why are you
Colonel
killing my
Sanders.
men? Like, what's going on? And then Schultz is just like, all right, bruh. So, here we go again. Here go a paper. Give me my paper back, Mr. Man, because now you see that what I did was completely just. I'll get off your land now, sir. Come on, Django, we're gone. Which also, let's stop right here. Notice how some of the slaves have guns.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was about.
That's because
But
basically
they also,
they were like house slaves basically. Either like they were house
but
slaves
not just
basically.
house slaves, they also bring up head slaves, which is a concept I wasn't fully aware of, but we'll get into a very killer role in this film because I freaking hated that man. But we're getting there, we're
Well now
getting there. So
what because like
moving on.
cuz I like after this scene not very much. Oh no, this all right, this scene right here. But after
But yeah, not very much happens after this.
yeah after this scene not very much happens until they get to the thingy thing. But yes, this scene right here, the best scene in the entire movie. Jo
Funny you see it in the entire movie too.
yeah. So basically, these people, this is the guy. This is the headmaster guy. That's Jonah Hill. He just makes a small cameo, freaking Jonah Hill in the movie. And basically, what happens, if I can skip over a little bit, they want to ambush the guy. So they bring out the whole squad, you know. Wait, did you go back?
I didn't touch it at all.
Okay, well, I'll just go back right here. It's gonna show up. They bring out the whole squad with the white hoods, as you can see right here, in the torches, you know, the KKK. As they go, and this scene will forever be hilarious.
Because
First of all, it's
they
epic.
first had showed because first it comes off as menacing, and I kind of don't want to explain the whole gag. I kind of want people to just go watch it for themselves. But just imagine like how a KKK meeting would go if they just really disliked the way their masks were made.
Yeah, they say, well, my wife spent all night cutting out 30 masks for
What?
y'all.
Not now, now, now. Nobody's saying we don't appreciate what she did. We're just saying like the eye holes is just a little too small.
You know what?
You know?
I'm going home. I forget y'all. Now, like, first of all, this scene is really epic. Like, just like it shows like the horses, like that's beautiful right there. But honestly, the eye holes are very small, I will say. But yeah, this like this the color temperature, like the torches and everything like that is just that's just
It just
amazing.
works. Yeah.
This is amazing. So basically, yeah, they go over the ambush of things. They're just having a conversation as they're freaking Jonah Hill. That was so funny to me.
Just randomly.
It's just
Just
random
in there.
Jonah.
And I wonder why they put him in there too. I'm just like, why him of all people? He's like the least serious person. And then as the scene continues, I'm just like, all right, it makes
Yeah,
sense.
he's like, I don't remember my wife cutting these holes. But yeah, this scene, they're just having a
And this goes
conversation.
on this goes on for like a solid 3 minutes.
Yeah, this goes for like at least like 5 minutes, man. Oh, 3 to 5 minutes.
It's beautiful and it's hilarious all 5 of the minutes. So we get them storming them, of course. They obviously can't see from what we hear.
Oh no,
And
you go back,
so
go back, go back. Right
there
here.
it is, yep.
Okay, so yeah, they're so basically they're going to ambush the things, but it turns out they're not actually at the they're not actually in their cart. And that, like as you saw in the scene before, like he put something in the tooth, which you will see the what you call it, the reason for it right now. So it's just like a sack of potatoes,
Yep.
sack of flour, and impersonating
Which is funny because I'm really sure that they thought
Sniper
that
Man,
was where Django was
bam,
sleeping.
Sniper Man.
But yeah, he puts some TNT in the tooth and he sacrifices the cart. Gets rid of it.
That
I don't know
is
why he
crazy.
had it with a tooth in the first place.
Because
But
he's
then
supposed to
here
be a
we
dentist,
go
man.
with another clean sniper
Nah,
shot.
but yo, all the horse scenes from this scene right here are just beautiful. And as and right here is another pivotal moment. Cause like, I'm gonna shoot the master. Master having a hard time getting this back on his horse, huh? You know what, Django? Why don't you take the shot? Like, really, really, me?
And Django's like, all righty, I guess I can do it. I've never shot one of these before. And then the whole time Schultz is just kind of looking at him and he's like, you're losing him.
You're losing him
You're
right now.
losing him.
Might want to shoot him right now, boy.
I got it.
Bam.
I got it. And
Headshot.
then,
Well, body shot.
see the blood fall down a little
Yeah,
bit.
bottom
And
bar.
then down goes the body, but the horse does not
That's
stop.
also beautiful. All white horse. He had an all white outfit. Is an all white horse with the blood stain on it. That's amazing.
And from this point forward, Schultz kind of realizes, like, yeah, Django,
Django kind of made
he
out for
might
this.
have a knack for this. He might be cut out for this after all. So
Yeah.
they kind of stop, they talk again, and he's like, all right, well, let's make it official, official. Like, you've proved yourself today. You've shown that you're more than capable. If you say that killing white people is really that much fun to you, then hey, by all means, come along with me. So now we move on to the next bounty, where Django is now expected to just start executing, really show how macho he is. And we get another pivotal scene where we still show that Django is human and that he feels a kind of way because he doesn't want to kill this man since he's with his son.
Yeah, which is understandable. I don't think I would be able to do it either. And Schultz is like, come on, man, you're a bounty hunter. You can't be like that. This man is worth $7,000, and each of his men are worth $1,500 apiece. So, and he, what did he do? He killed people, and he robbed their stagecoaches. So basically, he was like, so the thing is, like, you're killing a person who killed many people. So you're just balancing the universe right now. You can't do, it's not, you can't go wrong with this. And he's like, all right, I guess if I gotta do it.
This
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
is also another pivotal scene where Django is just learning more English.
That is, yeah, that was a scene. Like, he was kind of having trouble reading the actual bounty paper. Because, he was a slave. He didn't know how to read.
And so after a while of just explaining, like, yeah, this is not wrong, he takes the shot, and lo and behold, bada bing,
And
bada boom,
damn.
right in front of his boy,
He's like, Pa?
Papa goes down. And
Pa?
he goes, and he's like, Pa? Pa?
What
Pa?
happened to my Pa?
I
Here, oh
mean,
yeah. Also, the he was sold. He, him and his wife were sold in Mississippi, which is like kind of like the hot spot for slavery, slave trading back in the day. So that's where they're heading, because they're headed to find his wife now.
yeah.
Because his Schultz is a German man, so he kind of also has like an affiliation for someone who knows how to speak German. Oh, this is also a pivotal moment right here, where you kind of see that Django, he got the skills. Man's got the 360 no
Or at
scope.
least he's trying to get to the point where he can learn and get the skills a little bit
Oh
faster.
no, he got the skills. He shot
Oh,
the.
he got the skills, but as he progresses, he just gets faster. He starts learning, oh, I don't actually have to push the trigger, I could just smack the hammer.
Damn.
Very, very beautiful for how it works. But his aim, his precision
His
is
aim
very
is shit.
clearly impeccable, which is something that we learn.
Yeah.
His speed, although not there, is something that we see increase throughout this scene.
Bam. Bam, bam, bam.
And he goes
Bam.
shot after shot after shot after
Bam.
shot.
Bam. You gotta spin the gun around. Oh, damn. Just shot him in the balls. I shot the dudes. And so
They're taking our
look at
guys
him. Look at those blood
together.
splatters, bro. The exaggerated blood. Yo, he is unloaded on God. Like, yo, that's not a pump. That's not a pump action. It's like a. You see the hand
It's
up
a
in front
lever
of.
action rifle.
What you say?
It's a lever action
Yeah,
rifle.
it's a lever action because like you pull the lever back and pull it back. But he just unloaded on. That was. I don't know. It was crazy. It was a crazy moment.
Good old lever action rifle.
So yeah, as you can see here. Oh wait, where is it? This is a bounty hunting place. After a few, yeah. So basically, after a year, they go back to Mississippi. So.
Where they're basically trying to figure out where the listing for his wife
Yeah,
is,
because they keep
to which,
documents of where the slaves are, who is sold, and where they're sold.
again, even though very parallel to the how the white people felt at Django being on the horse, you'll also see some slaves giving him some dirty looks,
Yeah, you see those sleeves.
almost looking
That's
back
kind
and having to do a double
of, yeah,
take,
that's kind of crazy because
like.
Django was there. I'm guessing these are runaway slaves because they had the same headgear that Django had on when he was caught.
Correct?
Kind of symbolic. I don't know why they put that on there. It's kind of inconvenient for the people around them as well. They just swing their head around and kind of stab them. That's his wife's name right there, Brumilda.
The Brumhilda. And we find out that she was sold by somebody named Mr. Candy.
Yes, Mr. Candy. And apparently, the candy plantation is the biggest plantation in Mississippi. Every slave knows it.
Second biggest.
Second biggest, and every slave knows it. And the because the master, Mr. Candy, played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Don't say the reveal, because when he turned around, that shit threw me for a loop. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know, because I've heard a lot about this movie already. I thought everybody kind of already knew, but yeah, he has like he has he's a Francophile, which is he has a he likes French things. He likes French, he likes hearing people speak French to him. French things, yada yada yada. He also
He
likes.
also likes his sister.
I don't know. I don't think he likes to say. I think that's just like a he had like he adores her as a family member. Cause like he kissed her on the cheek. He didn't say like he just called her beautiful. He didn't like say like you sexy blah 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 blah.
They didn't kiss on the cheek, bro.
Nah, he kissed her on cheek. It was like on like it was very close to the mouth. It was on cheek. But Mr.
We'll
Candy.
see when we get up there, but yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Candy also has like he likes Mandingo fighting, basically making slaves fight to death. And he's kind of infamous for this. So, to infiltrate with their thing, they're discussing the thingy, discussing the plan of action.
Yep. And basically, they're going into how, even though Django was already playing a character, he's gonna have to play another character. One that's the top line as another black man. You kind of have this insight, I feel like people back in the day would have thought. So, of course, why wouldn't they take the word of somebody who should know his own kind? So, Django poses as somebody who is a Mandingo expert.
Expert.
He knows like top craft for the best black who will be strongest. He scouts them with his eye and pretty much just does not care. He's pretty much synonymous with slave owners being as racist as they are and just demeaning his own race, even though you could really tell in his eyes that he doesn't want to at a certain point, but out there a lot, he starts to play the character really well. But let's get into seeing some of that in good old action action. So we get up to the mansion where they walk in and they meet whatever this irrelevant guy's name
Yeah, I
is.
don't know. And, they have a
I think it's his lawyer,
no.
actually. Yes, it's his lawyer.
Dramatic zoom out right there.
Yep. And they dramatic zoom because Django said something about a black
Yeah,
person.
basically Django's kind of like throwing shots at the guy cuz I don't know. I forgot
He
exactly
said
what he said, but he's like said something.
no,
What he
he
said?
said like you're acting like a you're acting like
Oh.
a you're almost acting as stupid as like a hard R or something like that.
Yeah, because he was saying like the like everyone served Mr. Candy. Mr. Candy has to get his way and stuff like that. And he's like I put a lot of work into Mr. Candy as well, or something like that. And Django's like well you're kind of like a slave, aren't you? And he's like what? But of course he used the hard R instead of this.
And Schultz is like, "Ha! Just
Yeah, you know how he
him
is.
making
Yes,
jokes."
this is a perfect example of the dramatic zoom in that I was talking about earlier. As you can see, the Mandingo fighting right there on the floor, because that's what they do for entertainment. And now, we don't get introduced yet.
Seeing this reveal, because as the person who didn't know anything about this movie and just like turning it on and watching it, when I realized that one of the more
Dramatic
current
zoom
memes
in.
come from
The
this,
man himself, Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio always gets his own anyway, though.
Yeah, of course.
Have you noticed that about movie season?
Yeah, like the Wolf on Wall Street. What's the Great
The
Gatsby?
Great
Dude, yo,
Gatsby.
we have we yo
He
we have to
always
re we have to review the we have to review the Great Gatsby.
Hey, dog. What you doing after this? No, I'm messing with you.
I got some homework.
We could do it next week. It's no problem. Look at his face, though. So smug. Love this man. Excellent actor. So this is Candy right here. And he's like, I'm happy I have my guest here. Just join us for this fight. I'm going to actually skip ahead. The fight is pretty gruesome.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
There's a lot of screaming, but basically Candy's man wins. Oh, got some blood right there. Let me get
He's like
demonetized.
blind and black, boy. Blind and black. And he blinded
And then
him.
yeah. They break arms, they go to the death, and you could tell that it's no holds barred. They don't care.
Yeah.
So
So yeah, they're discussing Blake. Yeah. We're trying to we want to buy the cream of the crop that you have. We want to see your stock. I have my Mandingo expert right here, so we can because we
of
also.
course, you won't sell us your top five, but
Well,
we
what
would
else?
at least like maybe two or three.
Yeah. It's the rest is kind of irrelevant until they get to the part where they go where they're going to the plantation. Basically, yeah, they go to the plantation, yada yada.
Well, actually, no, wait, I won't say it's completely irrelevant. You know what I like about Netflix? They added a time skip feature. So basically, and this scene is kind of pivotal because they finally get the plan off on him. Candy's like, no, no deal. Oh, nothing is going to change my mind about anything that you have to say. And so they're just like, well, what if I offered you a crazy price for the right slave? You know? Would such a crazy offer make you, I don't know, interested? And he's like, well, what would you define as crazy? What's crazy in your book? And he says, well, Django, what do you think? And Django goes, it's a good one. Nothing less than 30,000.
That's twelve
Which,
thousand.
mind you,
That was twelve
back in
thousand.
the day, that is bread.
Yeah,
Let's
they said this.
inflation.
It was 12,000. 12,000.
Oh, it's 12,000?
Yeah.
That's still bread.
Yeah, you can say it's still red.
That's still a lot of money. That's probably close to six figures
For like
in
for a yeah
current
like
day.
and for a slave at that.
So we kind of get this nice little montage scene where we kind of see how Candy is. Wait, on your screen, is it also moving at 1.5 speed? Probably not, right?
Probably not. I could put it there. 1.5, speeding up.
There you go.
But I'm gonna skip forward 10 seconds.
Yeah.
All right.
Under the tank at the same time as you. All right. So, yeah. He's just like, all right. Well, you know what? Works for me. It's crazy enough. So crazy that it works. So we see that they meet up the next day. They're talking. They're like, hey,
It's definitely not showing
good
the
to
same
see
thing,
you again.
because right now they're running on the horses on the plantation.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Hey,
And they're
nay,
just like,
horse says nay.
you know,
And yeah, they're
what's
talking.
up?
They was like, oh, why don't you come over here and sit in the little thing right here, the little caddy.
Yep. And Django, of course, even though a refined man is not refined enough to get in with them, so
Yeah,
he
he's
still rides on horseback.
yes.
Meanwhile, we get Django's main rival in this whole thing,
No,
who
I'm
he calls by moonlight.
Moonlight. Oh, okay. I know what you're talking
Yep.
about. But I'm surprised that all the other like white people, they're like after they hear that he's a free man, of course they like I guess so. But at the same time, they still like almost completely accept it. Especially Mr. Candy. Mr. Candy. I think Mr. Candy is one of those people who shows like he's still a slave master, but at the same time he knows.
That
He
they're people.
like not even like he knows other people and he sees them. I think Mr. Candy low key sees this black people as like as a superior race. I think that he does see that. And I think that he's proud that he owns them. Because like he kind of accepts Django as a free man, as a Mandingo expert. He accepts the character that's gonna come up as like he's like his partner in crime almost. And like
Yep. And this is I don't know if we're synced up right now, so
right now, yeah, definitely. I don't think so. Just put it at normal speed because.
yeah, I'm putting it back on normal.
So right now he's like
So
tipping over the horse.
tipping over the horse, yep. So again, just
At least saw that, bro.
another showing of power where, of course, Candy is having dinner with them, and he's like, well, you're quite intelligent, and if there was any black man like you, I would say that you are one in a million. And there are, of course, people disrespecting Django, like, oh, get back on your horse. And Django's like, I'm not taking this from you. And everybody has their hands on the gun, like, oh, yeah. And Django's like, nah, don't even play,
Wait, though.
player.
Let's talk about how fast he pulled that out, though.
To.
What did they call him? Well, did they say it in the, they say it at the end. Do you want to say it now or do you want to save it till the end?
What?
Like, what they call Django?
What do they call Django? I don't remember anyway.
The fastest hands in the South. The quickest
I'm
hands.
sure they do.
And they do. They mention it towards the end. But yeah, basically, Candy is kind of checking his people because he wants the
He's
$12,000.
like, these are still my guests, right? I'm getting paid for this. Why are you antagonizing people who've come all this way to do business with me? Don't be idiots.
Basically, yeah.
And
So
so
that's
everybody
kind of,
pretty much has to
yeah, that's kind of
back
the power
off,
that that's the power that Django holds
even
over everyone else right now.
which again, big power shift. Not even halfway into the movie, and we already see the
That's what
transformation
that's crazy.
is pretty good.
All right,
And this right here,
let's pull up the
look at
clip.
this loser right here with his hat and his 5 o'clock shadow trying to talk down. This right here is who, for the rest of the film, will be referred to as Moonlight because I don't remember his name and I don't feel like anybody else calls him by
Moonlight,
his name.
try looking good. Moonlight.
So he's not important.
Yeah, let's pull up a little
And
bit. We're at 53 minutes.
huh?
I said let's speed up a little bit. We're at 53 minutes.
We're at 53 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So basically, they're traveling, which basically, we really don't even have to go more into this because the main event comes really right about here where we get to the plantation. We
Yes.
get the beef, so we get Django
I will
talking
watch that.
down to slaves, but something
One
pivotal,
second.
I'll just say, that we did skip over is that a slave tried to run away. And Candy basically lets him get torn apart by dogs. And even though. Huh? Oh. And basically, while Django does that, he just watches it go down. He seems unfazed by it. Meanwhile, Schultz is clearly bothered by it because, again, he doesn't really like the idea of slavery or really stand for the idea of like what they're doing to these people. So it's just again showing how desensitized Django kind of is to it all, and again at the same time playing this very strong character. Meanwhile, at the same time, Schultz is trying his best and taught Django everything he knows, but even he's not at the same level of what he's created, kind of, so to speak. It's like Frankenstein looking at Frankenstein's monster. At first, you think like it's containable, and it's like, ooh, I could probably do something with this, and then when you realize you really don't have a grasp on it at all, kind of shifts things.
Wait, where are we
But
right now?
I just explained the whole dog being torn apart, Schultz being a little uncomfortable. We're at the plantation field now. So they finally arrive at the actual plantation. And this is pretty much where we get introduced to Samuel L. Jackson's character, who is honestly, I believe, to be who they modeled Uncle Ruckus after from Moondogs.
Yeah, his name is Steven or Stefan, however you want to pronounce it. And he's like the, as you said, what you said, they called him the head slave.
Yep, they called him a head slave, which, according to Django, the only thing worse than a house slave is the head house slave, who basically just kind of sucks up and is like the closest you could get to being a best friend to a slave owner.
Yeah. Wait, like, yeah, he was like, he was Can Mr. Candy's father's head slave, maybe even his grandfather's. But so, yeah,
And
he's known Mr.
he's
Candy ever
taken
since he
care of
was a
him for a
kid.
long time.
Yeah. And he's like, he doesn't like the idea of Django being a free man, basically. And being a slave, a black slave trader at that.
Which is why he just kind of stares him down. Unlike
This
the
guy's
stare
also
down of
pretty.
an actual slave.
Yeah. This guy kind of represents like all the resentment towards all the slaves on the plantation that they have against Django. Because of course, like, he's basically saying, like, you telling me that like, you got freed just so that you can do the same thing that happened to you to us, and
All right, ladies
it's messed up.
and gentle fish, because after this very important scene where we're gonna start moving at lightning speed. So yeah, we see the symbolic version of the resentment. And again, he Django also like spat a comment at him earlier. But we finally get to see Brumhilda, because of course most of this isn't really necessary. Most of these characters that they're bringing up
It's a very
are
low thing.
to which they're like, where is she? And like, she's in the hot box.
The hot
So we
box.
get the scene
Oh, wait, no.
where, let's go back a little
Yeah, I
bit
was saying, like,
more.
I didn't mean to do that. So basically, yeah, he's looking at the hot box. Like,
Where they go get her out, and it's very dramatic. Extremely, in fact.
is
And
it?
this is one of the few where during this whole character shtick that Django is doing, he's gonna actually show some emotion again towards what's going on. But as you'll notice, Samuel's character in the background is just kind of always looking over Django's shoulder for him, always
Wait,
studying
hold on.
him to
Can we
see what
show this?
he's
'Cause it's
doing.
going on YouTube. I don't want to like have it like 18 plus because of nudity.
Oh, they don't actually show anything, thankfully.
It's close enough.
It's close enough, yeah, but
I don't want to.
even then, I don't think we have enough subscribers to
I
even
don't want to play that game.
being part of the rewards program.
See, so yeah, basically they played it. They bring Brunhilde out of the hot box basically, and
Yeah, they
Django.
take a bucket of water, which is basically just a room that they let the sun sit in, and they have to pour her out like a dried out, what's something
It's a sun-dried
that you would put
tomato.
water over? Like a sun-dried tomato,
So yeah,
so that
they
all
pour
the
it on here.
steam comes up. And so, Django's like, oh, it's my baby. And he's itching at a certain point to kind of like grab his gun at certain points, and that'll be shown. But from here on out, we get them getting ready to eat dinner, and the whole shtick is the only reason why they pulled her out, even though she tried to escape again, is because Schultz requested that she come to the room. So as you can see, she's all prissied up. They're going up the stairs to take her to Schultz's room, who they're presuming is gonna have a splendid time with her in all the wrong ways. But of course, as you'll see, they'll talk, but that's just not what's gonna happen. Schultz kind of explains in French that, hey,
German.
German, I'm sorry. Like, we have a friend in common and we basically came to save you. Django's like, hey, troublemaker.
Why
She
did you? Why
pours
is
the water
she pour it so
as she
slowly?
press. I don't know. She literally like leaned towards the pouring motion before she even like came close to falling, but don't mention it, I guess.
Yeah, basically, this entire
So
scene is like Brumhilda is like, she knows that they're gonna try to save her. And like she's just trying to hide it at this point. They're having dinner. Django's sitting at the table with all the white people.
hold on. Actually, the scene that you just went past,
What?
this one also just kind of establishes Stefan's role as the head slave and kind of being more so, having more power over his fellow slaves and kind of like bossing them around and telling them what to do and kind of like nobody really being able to say anything. But yeah, after that, it's like power dynamic from him is established because again, now we have two powerful black men in this movie, which again isn't very common. We get to the dinner scene. Everything's going swimmingly,
Until.
but of course, if I can, if any of it'll pop up in the passing,
Basically,
Django says some things that's just kind of off-putting.
Brumhilda's like giving Django looks and Schultz looks, like treating them extra well, basically. And Stefan or Steven notices this.
Well, you know what? Schultz wouldn't even be out of the norm, though. It's especially just the way she keeps making eye contact with Django.
Yeah, basically. And Stefan notices this, and he wants to exploit it. Because that
And
little eye
that
contact right there.
close-up of the eye contact, yes, is very important because Stefan notices it, which is the
Yeah.
only reason why it's so zoomed in.
So, yeah, basically, right now they're just talking about, like, which slaves they want to purchase. Like, they got, like, three in mind. His top three. Whatever. Basically. And.
And so they continue. Perfect. You beat me to it.
Yeah, I just want to skip to the point where Stefan consults to Umilda.
To her?
Yeah, he's like, and when they go back in the kitchen, he's like, "You know him, don't you?"
Oh, it's right here.
There, there you go.
So yeah, he basically confronts her like, "So, you know that black man, don't you?" She's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Don't lie to me now. You wouldn't lie to me, right? Not Stefan." "Of course not. You're not stupid, are you?" It's like, "Haha, no,
Of course not.
Stefan." "Huh?
So,
Well, why are you stuttering?" "'Cause you scary." "Haha, Stefan, leave me alone." A lot of hesitation to make the juice. Now, after a while,
so basically, Stefan is like he's testing Brumhilde and Django. So
right.
he basically goes to the extreme. He's like, "Why don't you show everyone your the whip scars on your back?" And of course, she can't do anything because he's the head slave. And as you can see, he's like,
And he's trying to like really exude it, but he
see how
actually
Django
gets
reacts to the
helped.
thing, basically.
Right. But then the wife is just kind of like, "Yo, that's inappropriate. I'm trying to eat dinner. I don't like, why are you doing this? You're trying to show off another girl in front of my face? Come on, Candy, stop being rude." And Django, as you saw, reached for his gun, but just at the same time isn't doing anything because he knows that well, thank God, thanks to the sister, I keep wanting to call her the wife, the sister is not able to do anything. So, after a while,
Oh,
Candy,
another
not
pivotal scene
Candy.
though. They basically just talk about the thing. But I want to go to another pivotal scene. Well, right here, of course. Stefan confronts her again. Like, "You do know him, blah 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 blah."
And he's like, "Oh, okay.
I got you.
So,
Say less.
you still not gonna say nothing, huh? Well, you sit right here and don't you move at all."
Yeah,
So
so
after already acting the fool at
I
the
want to skip
table,
to
Stefan
here.
kind of just goes back. He says some more craziness, even though Candy just kicked him out. And even though they're already about to do business now for the slave and the potential purchase of Brumhilda, we kind of just get this close up where he talks to Candy and he's like,
Oh,
"Meet
sorry.
me in the library."
There. My bad.
Candy's like,
Right here.
So he of course
Now,
does,
I
and they
do.
talk about the betrayal.
Yeah, this right here. I really like this scene right here because it shows how close they are, and of like and like how much how it this just directly shows how much power, Stefan has. I mean, Cole.
Especially even the way that he speaks to Candy,
Yeah,
I feel
like you
like
see how
really
like
endears it.
he's laid back. He has legs crossed, whiskey in hand, everything with a crystal glass, and he has all the power in the situation. Like between Stefan and Mr. Candy, Stefan has more power than Mr. Candy, by far. Like as you can like.
Where he exudes more power. He's not afraid to be like the yang to his yin at all.
Yeah, because like well, literally white and black. Aha. Because like, he knew him since he was a little boy. He was his father's head slave. He knows everything about him. He's like the say like mother knows best, slave head knows best in this situation. He's basically spilling the juice on like they're not even interested in buying the Mandingo slaves. They just want the girl.
Yeah, during that black man, the Mandingo expert, supposedly knows her. And I believe even one of his first lines that he says to him when he walks into the room is, "You should thank me because I just saved your tushy."
That's
And
it.
as
Just
Candy kind of realizes it, he's just kind of like, "Huh. That's funny. Can't believe they wasted my time like this." So he starts to get really pissed off, but I also kind of find it funny, and I do want to call this out. I want to pause right here. I like this scene a lot because it gave me the emotions I was supposed to feel. I was yelling at my TV screen at Stefan. I was calling him all kinds of not nice names. And it works. It goes perfectly. But at the same time, all the things that he says, kind of like as quote unquote evidence to prove that that's what they're only here for, kind of doesn't work because what's it to him if he makes a like 600 extra dollars off of an extra slave? I kind of don't understand what his whole gripe with it is, because at the end of the day, he still gets something. And even through finding this out, he actually realizes that, well, instead of losing my second best person, I actually get to keep them, and I get to make the same amount of profit off of just one female slave who literally has zero use to me because she keeps trying to run away anyway. But regardless, he gets pissed off, and this is where we come up into one of the best scenes in this whole
Yes. This
film.
this scene, I know this scene is iconic, especially like the part where he like gets where he like bursts.
Is laughing with the glass in his hand.
Yeah, I know this scene is iconic. I think because like he actually like sl I think he actually like hurt his hand in this scene. Like he actually like
Yes, he did.
yeah.
I didn't want to bring it up until his hand actually started bleeding. But yes, in this scene, he like crushes some glass. And DiCaprio in real life, it was unscripted, hurt his hand, but he did not stop, and he kept it going. And
That's
I think this is like a not even a pivotal moment as a character, but it just highlights the beautiful acting, how dedicated they were to this script, and just the kind of power, again, that just shows like I'm hurt and I'm still commanding. It doesn't matter at all.
I do want to mention a little bit of production design in the background. You have a statue of the Mandingo fighting, which he is known for, which so good on the production design and all that. Really
Yep.
nice.
And this is also a scene where he's trying to go down into one of the many previous, actually common flawed mentalities of actual white people back in the days who believed that blacks and whites were not built of the same caliber because they had been comprised of different body parts. And so he goes into an idea about how basically if he were to take this skull and he were to crush the back of the head, which he does because that's somebody important.
Ben, old Ben. Let's call him old Ben, I think
Old
it's called.
Ben.
Yeah.
Yep. And he says, this one right here has three dimples in the submissive category, while the back of my skull has three dimples in the creativity aspect, which obviously false. But he goes on a whole demonstration about how, yeah, so I bet you if I also cracked your skull, it would also look the same. And he
Yes.
goes into a whole bunch of yelling and screaming and like,
This
there's
right
been a
here.
lot of lives.
That's where he slams his hand on the thing. Outbursts of anger. Because like, you're like, haha, I found you out. Now, guess what? It's either
Sit down.
sit
There's been
down.
a lot of lies here. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. Hand over your weapons. We're done.
Yes. So basically, they're kind of like negotiating. He's like, first of all. In the first place, like the only reason I accept you into my house is because you thought, because you wanted to buy one of my slaves for $12,000. She's like, now what if I just like crack her head open with this hammer right here? What would you do then? Because like he knows that they want her.
There's absolutely nothing you can do because until final sales are final, she is my property and I can do what I want with her. I could crush her head open with this mallet right in front of your head, right in front of your head, right in front of your face, and there's not a squat you can do about it. Just trying to basically take back all the power that these two characters have accumulated throughout the entire film and just take it all back. Just sap it from them as quick as possible in just one pivotal scene, all at that, as kind of like a turning point.
See this now. This is like the kind of like the downfall. This is the start of the downfall, anyway.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, he's willing to do it. He gives them the money. He's like, all right, I'll pay you $12,000 for that girl right there. And he's like,
Because, of course, like they said, it's for the
sold.
right price for the right person.
Yeah.
So he swings the hammer like he's about to do it anyway, and he's like, yeah,
Give me that money.
now we got ourselves a deal.
Yeah. So they go through the whole thing, the process of signing.
Beautiful signing, nice music to accompany it.
Yeah, they're playing. I think they were they playing Fur Elise. They were playing some song by Beethoven. I want to say that's Fur Elise. But yeah, she's basically signing away ownership to Schultz from Candy. And yeah, the white
While they're
cake,
having quite cake,
the white
yes.
cake. And Schultz is like, he's just sitting there in agony, basically.
'cause he can't listen to this music. He can't really see how they could sit and listen to something like this after everything he's seen.
Yeah.
Especially thinking back to how that man got torn apart by the dog. And you could tell he's really in agony. He just kind of wants this whole thing to be over. And he
Stop
doesn't
playing
have any
Beethoven.
respect for him at
Stop
all.
playing
So,
Beethoven.
I'm just jumping ahead some more. He signs the contract and makes the deal final. And he's ready to leave with Brunhilde. But Candy is like, wait a second.
With one
You
E.
know, I
Where I come from.
have a we have a custom. See, where I'm from here in Mississippi, a deal isn't a deal until you shake my hand. So, Shelta's like, I don't want to shake your hand. I don't respect you. And he's like, well, in Mississippi, if you don't shake my hand, the deal doesn't count. So how about that, Buster? Shelta's like, I really just don't want to shake your hand. I don't like you at all. I bet you would do. And so, after a lot of refusal, and eventually them having to get some guns pointed at their domes, to not leave.
Yes,
To
yeah, so
not
basically,
leave.
so basically, if he doesn't shake his hand, they're just gonna kill them all.
Yes.
Basically, or no, they're gonna kill her because, technically, well, in his eyes, she's still his property, so he could kill her at any moment because he didn't shake his hand. But
Despite what the best of the documents would say, and Django's just like, all right, well, you know about the point that I'm not shoddy. You're gonna have to
just you know, of course, Schultz is just being petty. He just wants to be out there. He hates all the people in here. And he's,
And Shelta's
Jimmy
like,
gives him a look.
all right, you know what? You really want me to shake your hand? Oh.
This scene right here,
And
there's some
Candy
just.
is like, yes, I get what I want at the end of the day. I
Listen,
still
look at
feel like
this.
a
Look at this.
winner.
Look at this. Drop out. Right in the flower.
Right in the flower, right in the heart. And Candy
Candy.
goes
Yeah,
down.
Candy goes down and
And
kills him.
Stefan, like a wife, runs over.
That dramatic zoom in. I mean, look at him. Man, look. Oh man, look at it. And this right here. He turns around. He got the bowler hat on. I had to do it. I couldn't
Instead
resist.
of just shooting, just Schultz
Now,
goes down, and it's a sad death. I
that's.
really would have loved to see them like try to partner their way out of them, and Schultz is just kind of like, oh, I can't go on, go without me. I've been hit, but nope, he just takes it to the chest,
Nah, look
and
at the over exaggeration here. He shoots him with
it's
a
like, I'm
shotgun.
sorry, I had to.
He flies off. The bookshelf explodes before he even hits it.
He swept him off of his feet, though. Like, you
So,
gotta do what you gotta do.
look at this.
Bruh.
This is hilarious. And then see
But
Stefan
then
in this
again,
right
the
here.
bullet goes through him, so of course it would hit the pages.
It's still over exaggerated. Shoots him with his
Of
own
course.
gun. Damn, that's when everything pops off. He just starts killing everyone in sight. He's like, pow, pow,
Yep.
pow, pow, pow. Kill him. Kill him.
And then we kind of get to this point where it's like 50 million white people who we haven't seen up until this point just
Yeah.
start coming out the woodwork.
Weird.
But it doesn't matter because the scene is still good. And this is pretty funny because he keeps getting shot in the stomach, this poor guy.
Yeah.
He's just like, ah, stop shooting me.
Hey, please.
While he's trying to save his girl, grabs him
Yeah,
by the,
just shooting him
whoa,
up.
Django, whoa, I know you saw that
Yeah, that little
bridge.
bit sus. It's a little bit sus. He
That's
could put it. He could put his hand anywhere
Django.
else.
Bro, what
He could
is
put his hand
this?
anywhere else. Yo,
What are you doing, buddy?
that actor just on the floor. Like, I did not sign up for this, man. I did
He
not sign
signed
up
up
for this.
for it. He definitely signed up for
He's
it.
like,
So
can
basically,
I be that guy later?
at a certain point, Django loses. He has to give it up. He's out of ammo, right? Look at all these people. He murders them all by himself, like a G. And so, This
Like
is where
actual,
we really go down to
that's
the
nudity.
fall.
That's nudity.
Yeah. I actually almost forgot that they completely show that.
Yeah, they
Was
basically
not.
this is the same basically the same position that he was in when he was what you call it? When he was caught by the thing.
Not the same position, but the same headgear.
Kinda, yeah. The little muzzle.
So we meet up with Moonlight again, and he's just like, "I'm gonna take pleasure in cutting off your manhood, your man dingo."
Yeah.
And as it's looking really bad, we get a beautiful monologue from Stefan, and
Stefan
he's
Walker.
like, "You
Goat
know,
poet.
we was gonna kill you, let you die.
But
But you know what's worse than that? Sending you somewhere else where you'll work until you literally die.
they basically
What
just
if
sent
we just
him.
kill you slowly?"
Yeah, they're going to send him to it's like a
A
it's not a
mine.
plantation. Yeah, he's going to be a miner where he's going to swing make turn rock big rocks into small rocks for the rest
And
of his
small
days.
rocks and the smaller rocks.
Yeah, for the rest of his days.
And so he literally cannot anymore, and it's that's that back blowing work will take a toll on you if you don't take breaks, which of
Yo,
course they were
bro,
not allowed to.
I'm still sore from shoveling yesterday.
That and that's how it is. Imagine instead of going down and up, you gotta go
Up and
up and
down.
over.
Up and over and down.
Over and down. So he's just like, "Yeah, that's much worse, and that's what you deserve." So we get this scene where he's riding with these Aussies as they send him off. And he's with the rest of the slaves, but Django gets special treatment. He doesn't get to ride around in carts. And it's kind of funny because now it's like the slaves are looking at him from the parallel of Django running and not being able to sit in a cage. But he still is kind of free.
Yeah.
Which even in his eyes you could tell he still envies him despite the fact that he still is much off worse.
Yes. And
But
this is
well,
Django, he kind of like persuades the Aussies. He's like, "Hey, come over here. I got a deal for you. You know,
and
you know, you know back
he
there?"
does the biggest finesse.
Yeah, you know back there? And remember from his first bounty, he kept the paper because it's like a
Which we didn't exactly highlight,
Yeah,
but
but
again,
we
if
didn't
you see it
mention,
in the film,
but
you would know that,
we didn't mention, but
people.
he keeps the paper from his first bounty basically, and he's like
Yeah,
back there,
Schultz is like, "It's good luck."
like back there is people worth there's a few people worth 1,500 dollars each, and I have the paper in my pocket,
It's the Smitty Pacaw gang.
and he like
They're in
he say
trouble
like he's
for a
sitting down,
stagecoach robbery.
he interested. Right there.
And
This
he
here,
looks
this
at the
made this the
paper.
Bacall game.
And he's like, "Hey, I used to be a bounty hunter. Like, you guys should just take my word for it. They're trying to sell me off as a slave. I didn't do anything."
So like he's getting along well with him. He's getting along
And
well with him.
they're debating for a little bit. And just kind of as they talk, Django pulls off the finesse, of course.
Wait.
Because, tuh. 'Cause why
They were
wouldn't he?
stupid. They're like these people are just stupid. Why would they believe him? And he's like he goes to ask for validation.
Well, they had good reason to believe him, but
They had
he's
no good
like,
reason
"You
to believe
know,
him.
I'm cool, you know? I'm like, you know, help me out. I'll help you guys, you know what I'm saying?" They're like, "Yeah, well, this bloke is all right, you know? I'm an Australian person. Kangaroos, my world is on fire and upside
Wallabies.
down." Boomerangs. So now he's just like, "Hey,
He's like,
you know what?
why don't you go take this horse right here?" He's like, "Oh, it got TNT on that horse. I'm not gonna take that right there. It's a little bit extreme." So yeah, he takes it
Let's
off. He's like,
take
you know
that.
what? Look, I'm gonna give you my gun too, just in case. You know, I'm like, you know what? Like, you'll need some type of gun here. So yeah, here,
There
takes
you
my
go.
gun. You know, going to bang, bang, bang,
Bra,
bang,
bra.
bang, bang, bang. Oh, but he had the explosions on him. Explode a man's. Horses run away.
And again, the people in the cage are like, "Oh my God, Jesus Christ."
He's Black Superman. And of course, he emerges from the smoke. As one does.
Like an absolute G. Look at man's teeth. Oh my God. He looks like the guy from the D's Nuts meme.
Woven? Woven the Greek.
Went all the way in the back with the receding hairline.
Oh, damn. So yeah, he kills the Australians, and the cage
door is already open, so he's just kind of like, well, I really don't gotta free them. He takes the horse off the chain for the cage, and he dips. And now we kind of get this moment where Django finally gets some respect. And this is kind of like the end of the saga from the slave look, where instead of just looking at him in like pure hatred, you could kind of see in this nice little close-up that they're about to do, he has like a very faint smile. Like, you know what? Yeah. Go do what you gotta do. Like, I see what you were up to all this time.
Yeah.
Respect, respect. That's like when people found out that Lil Wayne only endorsed Trump to get that part. So, of course, Dingo goes back.
And also, in the meantime, they take Hildy, Broomhilda, and it's like one of the, like, they just put her in her own private room, because, like, she, you know, well, she was, like, with Django and Schultz, so, of course, they gotta lock her away, kind of punish her, basically.
Yep.
And, you know, and they're also having the funeral for Mr. Candy, because, you know, he died.
Quite
Django
so.
This is not the actual thing, though. This is different. I've actually had a heart.
Oh yeah, this is just a retribution scene.
Yeah, no, but I thought it was like, yeah, because I thought it was like him imagining it, though, to be honest.
Oh no. He hopped up in there, kept it going, and that's the reason why they're not all in the house by the time he goes there to set everything up for them, which is honestly one of the better scenes.
Of course.
I don't know how much of it you want to show.
For what?
The very last scene.
I would show a little bit of it. But of course, the every single scene that has a running horse is beautiful in this movie.
Oh yes.
Majestic.
And they always keep the horse in focus, and it's always well tracked.
Yes.
Which I gotta wonder how they did.
It's gonna be a little vehicle. And
but yep. The road and the funeral service. We see
Django takes one.
Django go back. He took off his hat in respect to Schultz's body. He takes the paper with the signature to state that Broomhilda is a free woman and that Candy handed off the rights to not be his property anymore. So Django keeps that with him to obviously like keep safe, because if he goes out with her, there's no proof that he's a free man, and there's no proof that, you know, she's a free woman either. So, you know, we get this scene where we just see her crying.
Because.
Waiting for Django.
Because she heard Django coming through the door.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Django pulls up on her with the same exact phrase he hit her
she's
with.
She's scared because she doesn't know
initially.
Ways.
Yeah.
And Django
he's
was
like, hey, troublemaker.
She's like,
she's like, that was perfectly timed, yes. He's just like, yes, oh my god, yes, oh, yes,
hey,
yes.
My husband, yeah.
Yeah, and they come back from the funeral.
And yes, that's a very nice scene. I like it a lot, actually, when they're walking back in.
Yeah, and they walk. Wait, are you pausing? Oh, okay.
No, that was not bad. That was not bad.
Oh, like the shot that the world are walking back in with the silhouette and everything like that, and the shadows.
And then you also get the shot from behind.
Yeah, yeah.
Just really encapsulate that.
They just walk.
They're all together.
They just walk back. They had a funeral the same day. That's wild. Or no, this is actually the next day because they had dinner. So this is the next day, and they didn't clean it up. And he's walked back into a bloody house. And then Stefan, he's like singing a song. Like he's in the back singing a song, you know, as one does.
Yep.
He stops singing.
Pretty much from this
then
point.
Then they hear someone else singing. I think. Wait. Yeah, they hear someone else singing. It's like, what the heck? What the heck was that?
Not even hear someone else singing. As they're going up the stairs, Django just kind of light something. He was
He lights a
like,
candle.
that's about enough from y'all.
No, he was singing a song.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. He was like, hey, so yeah, I'm here now. He got a new drip again. I don't know where he got that drip from. Man, he pulls out the gun, fastest gun in the South. Look at that, exploding bodies from the bullets. He's like, ah, moonlight. He's like, ah. What's called the Wilhelm scream?
The Wilhelm scream, yes.
Yeah. So basically, he's like, yeah, then he shot man's.
He shot man's
no,
right where, right where he had him,
so,
right where he had his hands the last time he saw him.
Oh my god, this,
and Steven's just like, oh my god, no.
Yeah, this death coming up is gonna be the funniest death ever. Not Moonlight, because he shoots Moonlight, he's dead now.
Big gone.
They're like, all right, like everyone say, all right, say goodbye, all other people. Oh wait, hold up. I'm gonna play here. Now they're like, all right, say goodbye to what's her name, Miss Candy. I was like,
yeah.
Say goodbye to Miss Candy. Wait, did he didn't kill her, right, did he? No, she's right there.
No,
she's right there.
Not yet.
Steven tries to leave and he's like, nah, bro, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, but yeah, he's like, yeah, say goodbye to Miss Candy. This right here is hilarious. She just flies back.
Just some
back.
More of just some more of Tarantino's exaggerated movements and action,
look
of course.
Look at this. Bam. How does she fly back?
I watched that and I didn't understand it either, man.
It was just hilarious. Another reason why
it was hilarious when
yeah.
I watched it.
Yeah.
I had to replay it a couple times. I was like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, he tells the other ladies to run off. They run off in their dresses.
To which they do. And he's like, yeah, everybody who is black, I suggest you get out of here. And he's like, not you, Steven. It seems like you forgot. It seems like you finally know what to remember, but it's too late for you.
You see when you're
And Steven's like, you know what, bruh? You're talking all this smack, but at the same time...
Well, why did he drop his cane?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't need it all that time.
Bro,
but he's
just,
like, I
he's
count...
He's straight, too, like... Like he's just
he said,
running.
I count 6 bullets shot, and you're all out of ammo.
I
what you gonna do?
Guns.
He said, I count two guns. Yes, sir. Zeta's just like, ah, you son of a gun. You thought of it all, huh? Think you got it all figured out?
And then, like, and then Django's talking about, like, all the types of torture that Steven has seen and knows about. He's like, you know what? You ever seen about kneecapping? It shoots him in the
Never heard you talk about it once, bruh!
Shoots him in the kneecap. Easy. Now he's
76 years, Stefan.
How
many do you feel like you're seeing? 7,000? 8,000? 9,000?
How many slaves did you
9,999? Because every single one that came out of Calvin's mouth was some nonsense. But what he told me was that I was 1 out of 10,000
yeah.
of the kneecap.
Rip.
So what you gonna do?
Basically, Steven is just—he's just ignorant to the end, calling them all types of names like, ah, nah, you ain't crap.
You ain't getting away. They're gonna catch you. Everybody's gonna get you. You're not gonna go far. It's very funny. You think you won? Huh? This isn't even the worst of it. This is just the beginning. And when they find you, you're not gonna know what hit you. Da 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 da. Just talking smack. But Jingo is just like, I bid you would do. They're not gonna find this house, nor are they gonna find any evidence of what happened.
Yeah, he lights,
because
he lights.
I've in fact rigged this house.
It's dynamite.
Well, he walks off all cool. Of course, wouldn't be a Western without
puts
the
on his sunglasses.
Full walk off.
She just covers her ears. And he's screaming.
Just. Django is too cool, bruh.
Now, first of all,
boom.
First of all, he was definitely too close to that explosion. Look at this. He stood right outside the front door. Look how big the explosion was.
Can we also mention for a fact that what happened to the slaves? Where are the rest of them? There weren't just two of them.
No, they ran off.
But Django was definitely a little close. Some of that fire almost burnt off his pants.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, he
walks. She's like, oh my god!
That's my baby. He walks off. You know, does like
he literally walks through game. Fire for her, as does the legend goes. But again, that's not something we really mentioned. And that's pretty much Django. They ride off into the moonlight, and that's the Quentin Tarantino film that's critically acclaimed for being a Western. And for good reason, too, honestly.
Yeah. This is definitely not a Western. Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely not a Western. But yeah, they ride off into the moonlight. Leaving
if it's not a Western, what would you call it, mister?
It's a comedy. Because when I think of Western, I just think about the stuff that my grandfather watches every day for no reason. About how, like, they're like the typical Western, like, saloon type thing. Like, I could see it being a Western because it was kind of in that setting. But I don't think any Westerns really deal with slavery.
Well, of course, the Westerns don't really deal with slavery, but this is kind of different. Still using all the same weapons, because they didn't have to use a six-shooter and lever-action rifles. There were other things available. I think it was kind of intentional, even down to his hat choice and everything.
Yeah, most of. Yeah.
So it's interesting, though. It's an interesting take on slavery. Definitely comedic. I would say it has some Western elements in there that really make it nicer. And that's why when they play this cowboy music at the end, it's just that much more satisfying because it fits. And that's Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Truly, truly no chains or strings on that man.
What do you rate this movie?
Honestly, this right here is a strong 9.5.
Yeah. I'll say ditto on that one. What could they have done better? I'm not sure.
Could they have done better? I mean, things like, you know, Miss Candy flying backwards isn't necessarily realistic. And stuff like that.
I think the exaggeration is kind of what makes it, like, the comedy thing. It makes it rewatchable.
True. But then again, there are also elements in it that they don't need to make it rewatchable. Like you said, the slow motion and the whole scene where they're like, the eye holes are too small. It's just some, like, the small things that take away from how serious it is to laugh at the everyday struggles of everyday life, you know?
Yeah.
And generally, I feel like some things maybe could have been done a little bit better. Like, again, unnecessary Dutch angles just kind of randomly. Some things I feel like probably could have been tied up a little bit better, like some loose ends. But for the most part, again, since I really don't believe in any perfect movies, this is high on the list.
Yeah, definitely.
It sets the bar.
Definitely. There's a reason why these big directors are big directors. Because Tarantino is my second favorite director, and what's his name? Martin Scorsese. That's my favorite director. Which we'll probably review one of his movies in the future. But yeah, I think this is also like a solid 9.5, just because no film could be perfect. I like the exaggerations. I like that those are really good. Also like the comedy. The comedy was like when I first heard the comedy, I was reminded. I was like, yeah, that's like these jokes is kind of how people actually, like, black people actually joke about slavery. From my experience, I think that was very, it was really well written, and it was funny in that regard.
And overall, I definitely say that it's worth the praise, and Tarantino deserves everything that he got for this movie.
Yeah, most definitely.
And it ends pretty beautifully. There's not really much to talk about because we kind of discussed any of our passing thoughts as the thing progressed, but. Again, just the movie itself was very consistent. It was action-packed, and never for a second did it ever really lose, like, interest or make me, like, confused on certain things. Anything that I kind of felt like was changeable, it was so small that even if it wasn't changed, the movie wouldn't change at all. Like, it wouldn't change the fundamental core of it. The storytelling is really good. The pacing is excellent. And even though they put you in a situation where they kind of, like, make it seem like something is going to happen, he still pulls through. You know, and I think that's Beautiful.
Tell us what you think about the movie in the comments down below in the YouTube video.
And how did you like this farm? Should we do more of it? Should we do less of it? There's not necessarily a good catalog to choose from for examples of what else we do because the other podcasts were deleted. So we'll go back into exploring many other things as we continue to go about our things. But let us know how you feel. All feedback is kindly regarded, and we take everything that you guys say into consideration. So, with me not saying anything else, do you have any final words?
Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you share the podcast with your friends and family. Like the video, download the podcast, like the podcast on other podcast platforms. And yeah, there'll be more content like this coming up. This is gonna be. I'm not sure when we're gonna release this. You're definitely listening to this when it's in March. But is it moving on forward? There's gonna be more podcasts like movie podcasts, etc. You'll see when the time comes. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed this one. This one is different from the regular podcast that you've been hearing from since January until now.
Yep. So, thank you all for joining us and see you next time.